as a contrast, to point out that when this peace happens, your intellect becomes steady and you have a cheerful mind. But what if it is not there? And somebody said, okay, theek hai, you know, why should I go through all this effort? Life is not that bad. Okay, a few sorrows come, but what's there? Few desires, they're not really bad. I'm not doing anything that is, you know, that harmful to anybody. So, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with those desires? So, here, Bhagwan says,
Nasti buddhira yuktasya,
Nasti buddhira yuktasya,
Naja yuktasya bhavana,
Naja yuktasya bhavana,
Naja bhavayata shanti,
Naja bhavayata shanti,
Ashantasya kuta sukham,
Ashantasya kuta sukham. Now Bhagwan points out, Na asti buddhir ayuktasya. Who is an ayukta? We said yukta means one who is integrated, means mind follows the intellect. Whose mind does not follow the intellect? Who has got ego and egocentric selfish desires? And who has got these desires? Who has got no mastery over his or her senses? So now see, now when we use these words, you have to understand all this meaning in it. Not that again and again, I'll just remind you, but you have to understand. So, nasti buddhir ayuktasya, which becomes clear now, that such a person does not have buddhi, means that intelligence by which you hold on to this knowledge. So, nasti buddhir ayuktasya, which means one does not have any conviction, determination, clarity, who is not self-managed, then na cha yuktasya bhavana. So, cha and na ayuktasya bhavana. For one who is not self-controlled, self-mastered, there is no bhavana. Now, bhavana generally in a common language we understand is no feelings, no determination. That way also in simple words we can understand. But this word bhavana in Sanskrit has even a deeper meaning. Besides, that for such a person, he doesn't, even though he has knowledge, but he doesn't feel it. Well, you can put it that way. And that's what your condition is generally, isn't it? I know it, but I don't feel it. This knowledge is not just gained by some rational or intellectual tug of war. It's because you are rational, it's being explained to you because you keep on having doubts. Why? How? Why should I do it? No? Otherwise, it is very simple. You should be able to see it as it is pointed out if you have intelligence. Dhi. But if you have buddhi, your own buddhi will keep on arguing. That's why Gita appears difficult. Gita is not difficult. As children we were taught and we could see our grandmothers living it. What's the big deal? Simple instructions if you just follow and you understand in true light through your life experiences, it is not difficult. Because we've got all muddled mind with all our modern education and all that, that we have to keep on giving arguments and giving proofs, etc. So that our intellects will be convinced to live it without any confusion. Otherwise, it is very simple life. Once you understand it, you ask yourself, How could I not even see this? It is so simple. That's why Krishna is explaining in such details, so you understand how simple is the logic of it. And such logic, simple logic, we don't understand because our logic is totally muddled up. That's why it appears so difficult. Otherwise, it is not. So, what is this word bhavana? Loosely translate meditation. Again, meditation also most people don't understand. In Atmabodh's commentary, Gurudev explains very beautifully what is bhavana. He says, it is not just feelings, it is not just thinking, it is thinkingly feeling and feelingly thinking. That what you think, you feel, what you feel, you understand. That is called as contemplation. Shankaracharya points out very beautifully, na bhavana, such a person does not have that meditative poise, that desire also for abiding in the self. Such a person does not even have an aspiration or even a desire, and even sometimes we know it, but we do not have that aspiration to abide in the self. So therefore, nacha yuktasya bhavanaha and nacha abhavayataha shantihi, and one who does not have this aspiration or this abidance or this peace or this feeling that this atma is me, then such a restless mind, ashantasya kuta sukham, for one who is restless in his mind, where is there any happiness? Because peace is happiness, happiness is peace. You cannot separate the two. You cannot say, you know, I am very happy today, but very disturbed. Is it possible? Or, you know, leave me alone. I am very peaceful, but I am miserable. Is it ever possible? Where there is peace, there is happiness. And where there is happiness, there is peace. In fact, only when there is peace, is there happiness. Now, do you want to go some deeper into a deeper psychology of? We think that we get happiness from the object, is it not? How does it happen? Did you ever watch your mind what happens? Before I even gave the example of samosa and created problem for myself, I don't think even thought about it, didn't you? You had just peacefully began to accept getting the delicious, tasty bhajis. Without pakoda, shakodas and all that. Nice, healthy, very delicious vegetables. You were quite satisfied. You were at peace, weren't you? Then, this thought of the sambosa came in your mind. And to demonstrate to you, I deliberately went on making you brood over it. Brood over it so that the mind, sambosa, 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 that even the kitchen gets to know that everybody is looking out for sambosa, and they are also thinking that should we get them the sambosa. So sambosa, 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 and then you hear even more about it, and then you think I should have it, and then you start scheming on how to get it, and then you can't get it, and your mind gets even more disturbed, and therefore you want it even more, and the mind goes sambosa, 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 and the higher the pitch it goes to sambosa, sambosa, that you can't even listen listen to the discourse of the Bhagavad Gita, that samosa, 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 and until I get samosa, Brahman doesn't matter, Atma doesn't matter, Gita doesn't matter, I want that samosa, 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 I'm ready to sacrifice even my realization for that samosa. No? You go on, go on, go on, go on in your mind. It goes on, goes on, goes on. And now till you get the samosa, you can't be at peace. And then, you see, someone totally compassionate has ordered some samosas, and you see that samosa, and when you go before it, everybody else has jumped on it and grabbed not one, not two, and pocketed one also. What are these robes for? With such big pockets? Oh, they removed the pockets, have they? Okay, you know why. Okay, some old ones are there, but you know, you pocket, and you're agitated. Oh, these people come to the ashram like that. They don't have consideration that they should share with others. What are they listening to that Swami for? No, what are they doing here? No, and then by the time you go there, only one without a second is remembered. Before anybody else who has not yet got it or wants to go for a second, not really for a third. Therefore, hint, hint, don't order one. Jumps on it. Yeah. Meanwhile, somebody just comes and stands in front of you like a puppy dog and says, now that you talked about sharing, so you have to take out half and that person. Now before anybody comes and asks you, you put that in your mouth. Ah, samosa anand. You experience something. Samosa anand took place, no? What really happened? Did the anand come from that samosa? Those who grabbed three and ate it all on their own. By that time. Miserable with that samosa. What happened the moment you took the first bite? What really happened was that the agitation you had created in your mind because of the desire, when you got the object of the desire, that moment the agitation ended. And for that brief second, your mind was hushed. Because there was no other thought in your mind but samosa, samosa, samosa. I want to eat samosa. And when you ate that samosa, temporarily, for that first bite, your mind got hushed. And in that peace, what did you experience? Happiness. But you thought this happiness came from samosa, delusion. But that peace and happiness was already with you. You created that samosa, 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 samosa. And when the samosa comes, then only it can get silence, or you give up that thought. When it becomes quiet, in that peace only you experience happiness. And whose mind is so full of desires and agitations, and not even one of them fulfilled, or one fulfilled, the another one rises. Kuta sukham. How can such people be happy? And what are we searching for? Happiness, happiness, happiness. When that happiness really lies in the peace of your mind. So, ashantasya kutasakut. Where is there any happiness? And therefore, now Bhagavan goes to continue and says that ayuktaha. So, how to be a yukta? And what happens to a yukta is what Bhagavan is explaining.
Tadasya harati prajnam.
Vayurnavamivambasi.
Indriyanami charatam yat manaha anuvidhiyate. That mind which follows not the knowledgeable intellect, not any intellect. Which intellect? Which has got the knowledge of the Supreme. When it does not follow, or the even in literal terms, ideals, principles, knowledge of the intellect, but follows the senses. So, indriyanam hi charatam yat mana anuvidhyate. The senses which keep on moving in sense objects, and that mind that keeps on following the senses wherever it goes in sense objects, which means keeps on imagining about sense object. Tadasya harati pragyam. Then that mind and those senses and those attractions and those disturbances steal away as though one's knowledge. Means that knowledge is no longer applicable. You forget it when you need it the most. Harati pragya. And he gives an example. Vayur navam ivambasi. Just as a boat without a rudder, without a captain, without a steering wheel, left in the waters, what will happen? Wherever the winds of desires go, the boat will go. And even sometimes smashed against a rock. See how Bhagavan dramatizes this whole thing. And that mind which goes in the wake of the senses, or in the distractions of the senses, steals away the very discrimination, the very ideal, the very knowledge that we have.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode by the Chinmaya Mission. If you like what you hear, please consider subscribing. If you're looking for exceptional and detailed content on the Bhagavad Gita and how Lord Krishna's advice to Arjuna is relevant to the hurdles you face today, or understanding your mind, or explanations on Hindu scriptures in easy-to-understand English, the Chinmaya Mission YouTube channel is the place to be. All links are in the description.